Now, also with us is Laura Waters. She's from the Mortimer Market Centre, which is a sexual health clinic in London, one of the centres that's been seeing a reduction in HIV diagnosis rates in the last year or so. Laura, first of all, can you tell us, what is the distinction between HIV and AIDS? What are the two entities?
HIV is a virus. It's an infectious particle. It stands for human immunodeficiency virus. And it's an infection that's spread primarily through sex, and it targets a type of white blood cell. Now, white blood cells are the cells in the body that are responsible for fighting infection. It enters a particular type of white blood cell called a CD4 cell. And the best way to describe these cells really is that they're like the conductors of an orchestra. If your whole immune system, which is lots of types of cells and proteins and chemicals, is an orchestra, the CD4 cell is a conductor. Now, HIV enters these cells, uses the cells to replicate itself, but destroys them in that process. And over time, it greatly damages the immune system, leaving somebody susceptible to serious infections, symptoms like diarrhea, weight loss, and particular types of cancers. And it's that constellation of conditions that is AIDS, acquired immune deficiency syndrome. So many people with HIV never develop AIDS because we diagnose it and treat it before the immune system can be damaged enough to allow AIDS conditions to take hold.
How long generally elapses between a person acquiring the infection and then developing those symptoms of AIDS, assuming that they don't get diagnosed and treated?
How long it takes someone to develop AIDS will vary, and it depends mainly on that individual's immune system, which is governed mainly by their own genetics. So it can be anything from 2 or 3 years through to 10, 15 or even more years. And there's a small proportion of people who actually keep the virus under control and remain quite healthy for decades. On average, it will typically be between 5 and 10 years after getting the infection that people start to get sick.
If HIV is an infection of the bloodstream and it's harbored by immune cells in the bloodstream, how does it come to be transmitted through sexual activity?
Well, the virus itself, so although it replicates inside immune cells, it basically travels around every body fluid. It gets into every single part of the body. You can find it in spinal fluid, you find it in blood, you find it in the gut, and you find it in sexual fluids as well. So you find it in semen, you find it in vaginal fluids, and you find it in rectal fluids as well. So although it's replicating in immune cells, it's floating around the body everywhere.
And when a person becomes infected, how would they know?
So when people first get infected, it's a viral illness like any other viral illness. So many people develop non-specific viral symptoms, fevers, rash, high temperatures, enlarged lymph glands. But this may be dismissed as just a viral illness, which in many ways is correct. It's just that no one's thought to test for HIV. And at least half of people will have something that when they look back was a significant, more severe than usual viral flu-like illness. Then typically there'll be no symptoms at all until the manifestations of a damaged immune system start to become apparent.
And if a person does suspect they might have contracted it and they come to a clinic like yours, how do you diagnose it?
I mean, it depends on timing. So most clinics now use point of care tests. That's a finger prick or saliva test where you get an immediate result. But most of those tests use slightly older technology. So it can take up to 12 weeks for a test to show up as positive. So if someone was infected today with some of those point of care tests, it could be 3 months later before that shows up on those tests. If somebody has suspected early HIV, so they have symptoms consistent with early HIV, they've had a risk exposure to HIV, then we do a standard blood test where you take blood from a vein in the arm. That's sent to the lab where we do more detailed tests and more sensitive tests, and those will show up positive for most people within 4 weeks.
Your clinic is one of the centres that's seen a very dramatic reduction in the numbers of cases being diagnosed. Put some numbers on it for us and also tell us why you think that is.
So our clinic, the Mortimer Market Centre, has collected data along with three other big central London clinics, and that's 56 Dean Street, Homerton and Barts Health. And we all saw a 40% reduction in new HIV cases in 2016 compared to 2015. Why we think that is a number of reasons. Now, the reason that's being most discussed is the advent of pre-exposure prophylaxis or PrEP, so taking HIV drugs before an exposure to reduce the risk of getting HIV. And it's thought that that's really led to this sudden dramatic downturn in new diagnoses. Other important factors are the fact that we have fewer and fewer undiagnosed people. So we know in gay men, who are the biggest risk group for new HIV in the UK, most infections come from people who don't know they have the virus. So these are undiagnosed people who are responsible for transmitting most of the new virus onwards. And actually, the undiagnosed proportion has come down. So now only 13% of people with HIV in the UK are estimated to not know their status. Now, that's still too high, but it's the lowest it's been in some time. So by testing and knowing your status, you are less likely to pass the virus on to somebody else. The other important factor is treatment. So people with HIV who are on treatment have a zero or close to zero chance of passing the virus on to sexual partners. And about 94% of people with HIV are on treatment and undetectable. So it's a combination PrEP, better diagnosis, and the fact that people with HIV are on treatment that keeps the virus suppressed and means the risk of passing it on is very, very, very low.
Laura, thank you very much. That's Laura Waters from Mortimer Market Centre.